Good morning, Sower Nation, and welcome to Tuesday. It is September the 3rd, 2024, in the year of our Lord Jesus Christ. I am John David Walt, and this is your wake-up call. And it being Tuesday, well, you know what that means. Hopefully tacos. Let's press in to today's entry. It's a hard day here in Gillette where I live. I'll share a bit about that at the end of our entry, but for now it's important for us to consecrate ourselves unto the Lord. Are you ready? Deep breath. Wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Jesus, I belong to you. I lift up my heart to you. I set my mind on you. I fix my eyes on you. I offer my body to you, Lord, as a living sacrifice. Jesus, we belong to you. We're praying in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today's entry is entitled Plan B versus Plan C and the Fallacy of Lesser Evils. Our text is Exodus chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Hear now the word of the Lord. Now a man of the tribe of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. Then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. The word of the Lord. Now consider this. Yesterday, I failed to note the last line of chapter 1. Then Pharaoh gave this order to all his people. Every Hebrew boy that is born, you must throw into the Nile, but let every girl live. That's verse 22. Get a picture in your mind of hundreds of young men carrying their infant sons in their arms, walking out to the riverbank of the Nile, and throwing their sons into the river to drown. You can see Acts chapter 7, verse 19 for another evidence of such. I'm sorry even to ask you to see such a sight. Sadly, this is the world we live in. It's a choice of evils. Do the parents suffer the death of their child, or should they risk being caught, at which point they would lose not only the child, but perhaps the mother and the father too as a punishment, or maybe even the rest of the children? That would be plan C. We are dealing with pure evil here. One of the most successful and seductive strategies of plan B is to convince us we have no other choice but plan C, which is an even worse version of Plan B. This is the strategy of sin, darkness, death, and evil to convince us we must choose between the lesser of two evils. I struggle to admit it because I know just how real the choice of evil dilemmas can be. But to choose the lesser of two evils is still to choose evil. I'm coming to believe the choice of evil's defense, called so because it is a way of defending an evil choice, is not so much a logical fallacy for Christians as it is a theological fallacy. Why? Because in God there is no evil, and because with God there must always be another option. It's always Plan A. To our thinking, while Plan A may not always seem like a good alternative, because it often involves a cross with a great cost, it is always a non-evil option. That's what we see in today's text. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. She saw the inestimable potential in the life of a child given by God. Something in her knew this child belonged to God. But doesn't every parent see a fine child when they look at a newborn? Something about the vision of this mother was different. It's a good word to us parents. We must ask God to grant us the vision to see our children as He sees them. She refused to kill her baby boy. She knew there must be another way. But when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. Then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. This choice was mortifying, yet it was creative and full of love and care. Her choice created the possibility of something different happening, something new and unexpected. Sure, it was fraught with peril, but it was not a lesser of evil's choice. It was a choice of greater faith, one that extended life as far as she possibly could, a choice creating the opportunity for all the unpredictable possibilities of God to work. One of the dark strategies of the spirit of the age, of the great confusion in which we live, is to bully God-fearing citizens of the kingdom into an ever-evolving choice of evil's dilemma. We must come to grips with the truth. Beneath the choice of evil's scenario is a choice of fears. Who will we fear more? God or evil? When we fear evil, we invariably resort to choosing the lesser of evils, Plan B or Plan C. When we fear God, we resist evil and we choose the way of greater faith, the way most often invisible to the naked eye, Plan A. Note the plaque on the wall of the celebrated Hall of Faith. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. That's Hebrews 11:23. Plan A is always more creative, always more costly, always more risky, and always more faithful. Let's pause here on the bank of the Nile as the tiny ark of faith floats into the water's current, holding an infant slave condemned to death, a baby boy carrying all the hopes of the future of the kingdom of God. Sound familiar? His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. Let's take Big Sister's hand as we together behold Plan A unfold. The prayer of deliverance. Lord Jesus, you are my deliverer. I hear you decree a season of exodus over me, over my family, over my church. I receive it. And as you decree it, I declare it. I receive your deliverance from evil and the evil one, and into the creative, costly, faith-filled possibilities of Plan A. Prepare my heart, mind, soul, and strength for the deliverance that comes with Exodus. Now let it be as you decree, for my good, for others' gain, and for your glory. Grant me courage, Lord, to not only resist evil, but to rebuke the ever so reasonable invitation to choose evil under the auspices of it somehow ever being lesser. This seems impossible in this world, and yet nothing is impossible with you. I know the choice of greater faith will come at a cost to myself, my reputation, even my respectability. I declare in faith, I fear no evil. I fear God. And even more, I love you, God. Come, Holy Spirit, and train me to be such a person of faith. I'm praying in the name of Jesus, the master of Plan A. And let's sing, glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen. That's a Plan A song. As it was in the beginning, Plan A, is now, Plan A, and ever shall be, Plan A, world without end, Plan A. That's good. Well, our journal prompts today, I got a few for you. A lot, actually. What do you see as we watch this scene on the bank of the Nile unfold? What must it have been like to be Moses' mother and father? Are you ready to forsake Plan B and its ever-evolving choice of evils dilemma? Where does your mind run in a practical way as it comes to being pressed into choosing the lesser of two evils? Can you see where you have succumbed to it in the past? What will it take to leave that whole paradigm behind and shift into the choice of the greater alternatives of faith? We're going to sing here in a minute. We always sing now, if you're new to us. I know it might seem odd to you. It seems odd to me. But we're doing it. We're going to sing a hymn. We got a hymnal. Seedbed made a hymnal. It's called Our Great Redeemer's Praise. It's amazing. Today, we're going to sing hymn 346. The song, the hymn is called Be Still My Soul. 3, 4, 6. We'll sing it in just a minute. I made a reference at the earlier, at the top of the morning, about a hard day here in Gillette. If you're new to us here, I want you to know that I have the honor and privilege of pastoring the Gillette Methodist Church, which is a wonderful little awakening church in the village of Gillette, Arkansas, southeast Arkansas. Town's got about 500 people, I'd say. And Jesus he's moving here. Plan A is rising up. But boy, we had a tragedy last week. One of our wonderful families, the mother, Melissa, this is the Granthams, Melissa Grantham, school teacher, mother of three, beautiful, powerful, faith-filled daughters, lost her life. The way we would talk about this normally, we would say she took her own life, but I'm coming to say no, mental illness took her life. A dark, dark depression took her life. And it is just rocking us. It's just been a gut punch. And this family is, and Melissa herself, so full of faith. I mean, just a paragon of joy. You just wouldn't believe this. And I'm telling you, because I want you to pray for us today. We have the funeral today, Tuesday. Visitation 12:30, funeral at 2. And the husband and the girls, I've been with them for the last several days. They said, you know, we want this to be only as she would want it to be. We want it to be a celebration of life. And there is a ton to celebrate, let me tell you. But we're just coming with, understandably, great sadness and grief. The two of the daughters are in college, and the third daughter, Ava Grace Sloan, she's in my confirmation class. I believe she's 14 or thereabouts. And oh, what a faith leader she is. All these girls are. It's remarkable, which is a tribute to their mother. So pray for us today. Pray for Plan A to just rise up in our midst moving forward. And I know you will. We're going to sing. You ready? It's a good song for today. It's a good song for what we're talking about. 346. Be still, my soul. The Lord is on thy side. Bear patiently the cross of grief or pain. Leave to thy God to order and provide. In every change, he faithful will remain. Be still, my soul, thy best, thy heavenly friend. Through thorny ways leads to a joyful end. Be still, my soul, thy God doth undertake. To guide the future as he has the past. Thy hope, thy confidence, let nothing shake. All now mysterious shall be bright at last. Be still, my soul, the waves and winds still know. His voice who ruled them while he dwelt below. Be still, my soul, the hour is hastening on, when we shall be forever with the Lord. When disappointment, grief, and fear are gone, sorrow forgot, love's purest joys restored. Be still, my soul, when change and tears are past. All safe and blessed we shall meet at last. Amen. Well, I can't think of a more fitting song for a day like today. And we gotta hit the fields, friends. Get your seeds. We're sowing for a great awakening. I'll see you on the field. And for the awakening, I'm J.D. Walt.
We hope that today's entry challenged and encouraged you. And thanks for listening to The Wake Up Call, powered by Seedbed. Be sure to share this with a friend, leave us a rating, and subscribe wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts. Find out more and join the movement by visiting our website at seedbed.com/wakeupcall.